Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm your host, Amy Stevenson, and this is an exclusive tips and advice episode on equestrian surfaces. I talked to David Andrews, who's the director of Andrews Bowen Equestrian Surfaces, and he's at the forefront of technology for surfacing. He supplied the London 2012 Olympics, Hickstead Horse of the Year show, and he's a professional show jumper himself. So David explains the difference in surfaces and how they can enhance or affect your horse's performance, and how the breed of your horse can make a difference to what they prefer. This is Horse Hour. How are you, David?
I'm very well indeed, thank you, Amy.
You're kind enough to give us all the advice and tips on different types of surfaces, because I'm a bit of a horsey geek, and any technology, I love to know what's best for our horse. And I think one of the things that we sometimes forget about is how surfaces can make such a difference to our horse's performance.
Absolutely. That's huge. And we're all singing for the same hymn sheet. And what we want to do is educate riders to understand about surfaces and why we put in surfaces what we do, what different elements of the sports that we're looking at, and for competition, home use, all sorts of different things. And we're wanting to educate also of what it's doing for the horse. You know, horses are a multi-terrain animal, and we are wanting horses to work on different surfaces, not always on one. And from our research, you know, as many different surfaces you can work a horse on, the better.
It's really interesting, I think, when we look at the different markets and the different environments that we train our horses in. You know, you've got the trail riders over in America, that they go up and down the steepest hills, whilst over here we're a bit more careful, aren't we? So we're thinking, like, you know, a steep hill could hurt their feet in some way.
Well, having looked at Paul Nichols's gallop, it's as fairly steep as you'd want to. I certainly needed an oxygen tank getting up it. But in racing world, there are a lot of gradients for training. And as I say, Paul Nichols has a fantastic gallop that has they call it the Eiger. It's certainly got a big climb on it. Dan Skelton has, I think, one of the best gallops in the country. And that was designed with Dan and with his father, Nick, of course. And we walked endlessly up and down, picking the correct route so that we were able to get gradients and flat areas as well.
That must have taken you forever, because gallops go on for miles.
They do. It's actually a very enjoyable experience. We're all horse people. Before I put too much weight on, I competed internationally show jumping.
I had a few rides
amateur as a jockey. My wife Julie is still competing at 5-star level and on Nations Cups. And my children are both riding, so we're as horsey as you can get. I've been involved in horses all my life, as have all the family, and as has my business partner Simon Bowen. His father David Bowen went to the Olympics,
so
we're as horsey as you can get, certainly.
We can't get much more expert than you guys, then, can we, really?
Well, this is how we started with surfaces in the first place. I had a mare that was incredibly thin soles, and keeping a sound was an art. If she stood on a stone, that was her off for a fortnight. So we were constantly looking at surfaces and how to work her and what to work her on to keep her in the best form. So then my involvement with surfaces were born out of keeping her sound.
We're finding that a lot about innovative products are born out of people that have had issues with their own horses that need to find a solution.
Absolutely.
So what was your solution for your mare then that was soft-footed?
Well, working on ground that had no stones in for a start, but also that had the support. She had big old flat feet and was sometimes getting too much grip on surfaces. So something that was very kind to her. she was getting on in years as well, so yeah, a kind surface for her that was very forgiving.
So you very much select different surfaces for different disciplines.
Absolutely.
So if we could start with what you did for the 2012 Olympic for the dressage arena. Was it the same for dressage as the show jumping? Because that's in the same ring, isn't it?
It was, but tailor-made for each one, and we can manipulate it to suit both disciplines, which is very important with doing the Olympics and other five-star events. You have sometimes a dressage event and a show jumping event running concurrently. Mm. So with our maintenance equipment, we are able to sort of cut it a little bit deeper, give a little bit more of a softer feel for the dressage, and then tighten that up again for the show jumping.
So what would be your ideal then if we had, you know, unlimited budget? What would be your ideal surface for dressage?
Well, you start a whole can of worms there. Dressage is... I actually did a talk for the World Dressage Forum, and I've researched dressage hugely. And we've just become actually the official surface supplier to British Dressage.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Our research on it, dressage horses have changed in the past 10 years, 20 years. And we're looking at completely different movements and different types than we used to. Mm. We're looking at very big movers now, very blood, very quality, very expressive, and different than the strong, sort of powerful German warm blood types that we had before. You know, there's a lot more knee action than there was before. But one of the key points is that a dressage horse now slightly puts, it's because they're a lot more uphill than they used to be, the action in trot is slightly more contact with the ground behind first, then the front foot, rather than together as they used to be. So we've got all that input happening on one limb, so we've got to make sure that the ground is absolutely perfect. The fact that a dressage horse doing piafs and passages are putting up to 3 to 5 times the body weight down on one limb, it's got to be the right surface.
Now, this could be a myth, but I did hear that for dressage, you need a bit more of a springy surface to help them with that lift. Is that true, or is that just, you know, rumour?
That's somebody who probably doesn't have a very good moving horse that wants it to look better. I think all surfaces have got to have that. We're looking for energy return. If somebody said a springy surface, that would be the equivalent of us running over a trampoline. Mm. And the way that we're built, the way that a horse is built, wouldn't it be able to absorb that amount of energy return.
Right.
So the most amount of energy return you want out of a surface is up to 8%. Otherwise, it'd be too springy. We'd then have problems in the pelvic area and obviously soft tissue damage as well. So it's got to be controlled energy return. At the end of the day, we're trying to emulate the best turf that we've ever competed on.
Yeah.
And turf, to an element, is springy, as the surfaces are springy, but that is a very controlled amount of spring. I hear some people putting rubber things under surfaces to give it more spring, where that can actually cause more damage than good.
What damage can it cause?
Well, too much energy return, which is creating its own problems. Mm. And this is something that we've learned a lot over the years, Amy, is that when I started doing this nearly 20 years ago, we've changed the surfaces a lot in that 20 years. Mm. The surfaces have changed a lot from before we did the London Olympics, you know, all the research and things that we've done. We've moved with the times and they're constantly using our R&D to find the best way for horses to adapt and for what surfaces they want to work on. So what we thought was a good thing at one time, it may have changed a little bit now. So we're wanting a surface to be very kind and forgiving, but also firm enough to support with not too much grip and not slipping either. So it's a very controlled environment.
And it's got to be flat as well, hasn't it? Because you see some, you know, you go to some livery yards and the schools are actually, you know, they're curved up the side and you just think, oh gosh, that horse could slip quite easily or it could go over on its ankle.
Yeah, I'm not too bothered about it being flat. Undulations are okay. Certainly a lot of racing gallops do have undulations, as long as they're not too severe. Mm. That sounds more of a maintenance issue than anything really, when it's up the sides.
Okay.
And you don't want the depth of a surface to get too thin. A surface should be compacted depth of 5 inches minimum. If it gets less than that, it won't hold together the same.
And what about, what should be the maximum then? Because I guess you don't want it too deep either, because otherwise they're going to have to work. It's like running in sand, isn't it?
Well, that's a very good point. The maximum you would want is 6 inches. For a race course, we would do a compacted depth of 6 inches, sometimes 6.5 inches. But for show jumping and dressage, it's a compacted 5-inch depth. And there's a reason for that, is because if it was any deeper compacted, I can't show you the diagram, but as a horse impacts the top of the surface, that impact then displaces over until it hits a hard point mm-hmm. where it won't displace any further. That then, the shock comes back and that's what gives the horse the energy return. If it's too deep, as we've tried with some of our tests, it ends up feeling dead to the horse. And that's what we don't want.
And if it's dead then, does that then, I can only compare it to human terms, give them like shin splints where they get pain up their leg?
It would make it harder work, certainly. Mm. So they were, because it was harder work and they wouldn't be getting as much zing off it, they would feel it harder, which then can lead to different problems. We had a similar issue at the London Olympics. We were, at the test event, we were looking to dampen a vibration in one of the decks. And ended up putting more surface on it to dampen that vibration, where it came back that the riders felt it was too dead. So that was a great lesson to learn, and we went back to our original 5 inches compacted.
Oh, I see. What are your thoughts, David, on people that school their horses in the field?
You're better on a well-maintained grass arena than you are on a poorly maintained all-weather arena, I suppose. Mm. Things have to be looked at. There's no such thing as no maintenance, and with our horses at home, we have numerous Grand Prix horses that are competing at the highest level, and they will work sometimes on a grass area, they work sometimes in the all-weather, and sometimes they go out around a hacking track.
Oh, okay. Because I often wondered that, because we see a lot of people that don't necessarily have a school. They want to school their horses, but they can't get the planning permission to put in a school, so they put them in the field. And yeah. I'm always unsure whether with a field it's not necessarily level. To me, as not really knowing anything about surfaces, it just looks like one huge hazard.
we would sometimes gladly turn that same horse out in that same field, wouldn't we? So with the horse galloping about it, whether it's got a rider on it or not, it's still going to have the undulations of the ground. And people, we do see this a little bit, that people can go to a show centre and be an expert about surfaces, and then you go and see what they have at home and think, well, perhaps they're not just as knowledgeable as we thought. Mm. But saying that, I think it's good for horses to work on different grounds, as well as the well-maintained. That's one of the things, Amy, that has changed, is that we used to discuss that with our wax surfaces, they were very low maintenance. Mm. That's changed. What is an old-fashioned surface now is something that requires the older wax ones with no maintenance. Something that's stopping a horse and it doesn't require maintenance is too hard and too stiff. Where these days, we're making them where we're wanting the horse to travel through, stay on top of the surface, but with have it shearing and slide.
Yeah.
So we are wanting it to be a far more natural feel.
It's funny how it changes over the years. What would you say would be, let's say we don't have a whole load of money, mm-hmm. but we want to have a really good surface for our horse. What would you say would be the best to use if it's an outdoor arena? Because I hear most of them, when they build, most schools when they're built, they start with concrete. And then when you've got the concrete underneath, what are you supposed to put on top to make it suitable for horses?
Right, well, that sounds a very scary thought if it's an outdoor one. The very key thing is that you've got to make sure the drainage is correct.
Right.
So on a traditional build, what we call a traditional build, is in your field at home there, or in your garden, mm-hmm. we would take off the topsoil down to the clay or the subsoil. They would put a series of drainage layers in there and drainage pipes that then go off to a ditch or a soakway or a pond or something like that. Then you would have a membrane. Then you would have a 5-inch layer of clean hard stone. And it has to be hard stone. It has to be a limestone or a granite. Mm-hmm. Then another membrane or tarmac, and then the surface. That's the only way to do it. It's got to be, we live in England and we're used to rain. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be a very free-draining area. We actually do have our patented system, the Equiflow system, that is proving to be, well, it's going out more worldwide than I ever hoped it would do. It's a fantastic thing. It's a completely free-draining layer that can be laid on top of normal ground. So,
oh, wow.
We don't need to excavate. That's helped massively also with the planning. When the planners don't want you to excavate, we can lay this straight on top of the topsoil or the grass, and it works perfectly.
So do you still need the drainage underneath?
No, because it can act as its own infiltration system. So as long as we have the void under the surface that can allow the water to pass through,
yeah.
it will then go off and find its own areas.
That's amazing. How much would that cost?
It works out to be £1 or £2 a square metre more which isn't a lot in the grand scheme of things. So if you're looking at a 40 by 20 arena, 800 square metres, it could be £1,000 or £1,500 more, but you get an awful lot more. And it means it's very easy to take it away if you wanted to. If you wanted to move it or you wanted to put it somewhere else, it's in kit form and you can pick it up and move it. One thing that's great for that as well for equestrian centres is that we are now able to finance it. So equestrian centres can lease it over a five-year period.
That's really good. So because it's expensive for riding schools, you know, they've got a lot of costs.
It is. It's a huge initial outlay where we've managed to do it this way, where the Equiflow Arena comes in full kit form. The underwriters are happy that it can be removed if needed. And it gives a chance for equestrian centres or private individuals to pay for it over a period of time. So it's paying for itself, in effect.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of cost then, the overall cost be?
Well, that's how long is a piece of string. We have 13 different surfaces, Amy, ranging from non-waxed to waxed. And each site is different. We're very clear that although we can give guide prices, and you would say £15,000 for a quality surface with a very good drainage layer for 40 by 20, that would be a ballpark figure. But we do like to go and see people's sites and give them a proper estimate so it doesn't come in it anymore.
Because the other thing is the BEF, they do a lot of grants. They help Livery Yards with you know, making improvements on their yards and their schools and things. The first thing that I'm hearing a lot about is we need to get our school developed. We need to work on the surface. We need to make sure, because that's their income. That's how they make their money.
It is. We are actually the sole supplier to the RDA as well. That have 500 centres, and we've come up with an extremely good package for them and have worked with them.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
RDA for a long period.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And what we're in the process of now is evaluating all the centres that they have and working with the RDA that have funding available to be able to send it where it's needed most. So we're working a lot with the BEF and British Dressage, British Show Jumping, British Eventing, and with the RDA, and with the Jockey Club. The Jockey Club are our partners in another project as well. So we work very closely with all the federations from all the equestrian disciplines.
So what kind of surfaces would you look for an indoor school?
Very similar in feel to an outdoor. We don't want to do anything different. An indoor school is usually smaller than an outdoor school and does get a lot of traffic in the same area. You know, you drive around the perimeter of an indoor school a lot more. So it does have to be slightly tighter. The great thing is about indoors, of course, we don't have to worry about the weather.
Yeah, that's true.
we can make a surface that we know doesn't need watering or is irrigated in different ways. We have everything from wax surfaces, Amy, that require no watering, through to surfaces that do require irrigation completely. So yeah, it's a huge range that we have out there.
Just depends what you need, I guess. It's the dust issue. I've seen that a lot. Some indoor schools suffer with a lot of dust.
They can do. The wax ones don't, of course. The Equiflow, Shane Green, the top international show jumper, on his indoor school, we put our Equiflow system underneath it. So basically, if you can picture that all his downspouts, all his roof water that goes down downspouts, we store that underneath the surface in our Equiflow units, and then we water the surface from underneath. The excess of that, of course, goes off and washes his horses off.
Amazing! So you're recycling the water?
We are, and the water harvesting is a massive part of Equiflow. So looking for Shane Breen at Hickstead, his costs are washing off his horses at 100 litres of water per day per horse. Mm. When he's got 70-odd horses in, it was a huge cost. So we had to look at ways of harvesting the water and reusing it. Now, on a very diverse thing, the Royal Highland Showground that has a fantastic arena that we put in last year is 106 metres by 60 metres.
Wow.
Now, the problem that Royal Highland Showground have is it's in Scotland, so it does rain, but they haven't got the amount of water that they need for the show at any one given time on a day. So what we're able to do is store 1 million litres of water underneath the surface. So not only does it irrigate the surface, it goes off and flushes all the toilets for 179,000 visitors.
That's amazing. And you just keep it underneath?
Yes, you've got the surface, then a membrane layer, separation layer, and then you've got the Equiflow units, and all the water is stored in that Equiflow unit.
So you don't need these big, ugly water buckets anymore, do we?
No, not at all. And it's very green. We're saving water. And as I've pointed out to numerous people, water in some countries is more expensive than oil. Mm. So we need to look after it. And at show centres, let's use the Royal Highland for an example. You know, there's an awful lot of horses there, an awful lot of cattle, 179,000 visitors over 3 days that all visit the toilets, and there's a lot of water used. Mm. So it's been able to give them that water when they need it, and obviously it keeps the surfaces in perfect condition as well.
How did you end up developing all this, David? I know you said you were riding, but are you a bit like me? Have you got a geeky passion for it?
My passion is horses.
Yeah.
I'm an owner, sponsor, husband, father, and when we've spent all our hard earned on the horses, we want to keep them sound.
Mm.
Plus, it's the benefits of the horse as well. So it's keeping horses sound is absolutely paramount for us here at Andrews Bowen. We want to look after horses and the welfare of the horse. So we've developed surfaces that are fantastic for competition, but also a different type of surface for use at home.
Because there's so much technical things that go into it. It's very scientific, isn't it?
It is. We've worked very closely with numerous universities. We work with races at UCLan and with Lars, a Swedish vet, and have developed this mechanical leg that's been testing different surfaces, the impact absorption, the energy return, the torque, the grip. We're looking at things constantly. And it is a science. We're constantly looking at ways to improve performance or make the welfare of the horse better. Show centres, every time they have to have a break to do a maintenance, obviously impacts on the time that they finish, so they want to get through things. But maintenance is an important thing as well, which brings me on to, we've just developed our own maintenance equipment and are making them in-house because what we found on the market wasn't big enough or strong enough.
Oh, really? Do you then go out and maintain other people's schools?
We do, and we have numerous maintenance packages with everybody that we have done services for, but also we're in a position to help other people. And we want to educate. You know, anybody can phone up and ask for advice, Andrews Bowen. We're all horse people that work here, and we're happy to answer any questions anybody has on maintenance, even if it isn't one of our services.
Well, that's good, because some people have got schools and they're not necessarily in the position to be able to pay for a brand new surface,
even though
they'd ideally love it. You know, that's something they've got to aim towards. What things do we need to look out for in our school? What can we do to make it safer as it is at the moment?
Well, we've got to make sure, first of all, that the depth is uniform, that it's a consistent depth throughout. Otherwise, if you've got thin spots and deep spots, it's going to ride differently. And what we don't want is a horse tripping. We don't want a horse sometimes on the hard and sometimes on the soft. Consistency is key, and we want it to make the surface as consistent as possible. We then can add a fibre to the surface. It's going to tighten it up to give it more structure, to make the horse ride on top of the surface more than go into it.
Mm.
And if it is a wax surface, the right amount of wax. If it's a water surface to make sure you've got the irrigation there.
What's the difference then between the like the wax and the rubber?
We don't use a rubber for numerous reasons. The rubber tends to, for competition, although it has its place, can end up moves a lot. I had a very careful horse that I was competing with, and he just didn't like rubber at all because it moved too much under his foot. I almost got the feeling he felt it like marbles under his feet.
Mm.
And because he was very careful, he didn't want to leave the ground. So you've got to watch what you're competing on and what you're riding on at home and look at every aspect. And sometimes it can be a surface that's upsetting a horse if it's not getting a true feel.
That's interesting. Some horses don't care, though, do they? They just kind of plough through anything. But then you find they slip a lot on the corners.
They do. You very rarely see a horse trip up on its own in the field.
Mm.
It's turned out a lot of that can be down to the rider as well. You know, we've always got to look at ourselves, haven't we, when we're riding?
Yeah.
And say, well, you know, am I balanced? You know, if I want my horse balanced, am I balanced as well? So we've got to look at that. But then the surfaces are key. And obviously, we're working very closely with farriers as well to come up with different shoes for different competition arenas as well.
God, there's so much that goes into it. I'm also fascinated. I don't know much about the racing world. I'm fascinated to know what kind of surface you put on a gallop track, because me, in an ignorant way, thought it was just the grass. I had no idea that you put tracks down.
No, it's all weather. It's a big, big industry. We've put racetracks down all over the world. Big public tracks in Florida to private tracks in Florida and all throughout Europe, because the weather is the weather. And Florida was the hardest nut to crack for us, because we had extremely hot weather and extreme rain as well. So with a surface that could cope with heat and a lot of rain, it had to be very multifunctional. In the north of England, as long as it can cope with rain, it would pretty much cope with anything. but they've got to be very free draining. The racetracks in composition are different, because you want the horse to work into it a little bit more, otherwise it would be seen as too fast.
Right.
If you had a horse galloping over what was maintained for show jumping arena, it would be nearly kicking its tummy with its shoes. You know, it'd be far too fast for it. So we have to slow them down a little bit and give them a little bit more shearing, a little bit more slip, so that a lot kinder for them, really.
And we haven't even touched on show jumping then. What would be your ideal surface for show jumping?
It depends on the horse I'm sat on. Although we're joking about that, that is a very key point. We do have, some horses have small feet and would like a surface with a little bit more give in it. Some horses have bigger feet and maybe not as much scope as another one and needs the firmness of the ground for kickoff. So all I can say is I have numerous horses and you'd sometimes want a ground to suit different ones. But we have our competition surfaces that we use all around the world, from global champions tours. We've done the Olympics and Temp Horse of the Year show, Hickstead. I can keep going. We have a competition mix that is, I wouldn't change. We're absolutely delighted with it. The riders are happy with it. The biggest compliment I could get, Amy, from the Olympics was that pretty much all the horses went to Dublin the week after and competed.
Oh, amazing. So they were all sound. They had no problems.
Yeah. Which is a great pat on the back, and all the riders are very complimentary. Obviously, we got the right result at London as well.
Yeah, because it's hard then, isn't it? If each horse likes something different, it's very hard to find almost like a generic surface that they're all happy with.
It is, but you'll hear a lot more of that in racing, that some horses like a softer ground, some horses act better on a faster ground. Well, I think you'll find the same in all the other disciplines, because of purely down to conformation. Some will like it harder because they'll need to get more spring off it. Some will like it softer because they may have little joint issues elsewhere.
The nice thing is that there's a whole selection that we can look at, so we can find something that suits our budget, because, you know, we're not all made money, we're not all professional competitors, but we
absolutely.
All want, we've got the same ethos, we want the best for our horse.
We do, absolutely. And I'm sure we have, so within our 13 different services, we have things for all budgets and for all disciplines.
Brilliant. So where are you competing next then?
As we speak, my wife is in Holland. She's competing at Leer, a 2-star show this week and then a 3-star show next week.
Oh.
And then back to the fabulous Molesworth on the 15th of June, which we're all looking forward to.
Yeah.
Then down to Hickstead, and then we'll see where it takes us after that. But
oh, nice.
We have trade stands at Molesworth and at Hickstead. We've done all the arenas there. There's a huge dressage event coming up at Summerford Park next weekend.
Oh, is
there? Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that as well.
Where's Summerford?
Summerford's in Cheshire.
Oh, okay.
It's the Premier League. The Premier League at Summerford Park. It's a big event, and we're looking forward to it.
Nice. I bet that means that you don't get to see your wife much, though, if she's off competing.
It's far nicer when she's competing in England, or if I can slip
yeah.
over. I do get a chance to go out and see her. It is our passion. I love being with the horses and watching our horses compete.
And how old are your kids?
Little girl is doing her GCSEs at the moment, and then we have a son that's 13, so we're at a great age, great family age for getting out there and riding.
And it's nice because you get to do it as a family, and we don't hear that much either anymore. You know, it's like the kids either ride and the parents don't know much about it, or the parents ride and the children aren't interested because their parents ride. But for you guys to go out as a family, it must be lovely.
It is great. My son's not riding as much as he did. In fact, he's not riding at all at the moment. He did win the 12-2 at Scope 1 year, and then he very quickly retired after that. But my daughter's very keen as well, and who knows, he may come back in to ride again.
Yeah, when he gets old enough to see all the girls, that's probably when he'll get back into it.
many a true word, Amy.
What about your daughter then? What's her favourite? Is it show jumping like yourself?
It is. If I say so, she's a lovely girl and very talented. She's very kind with the horses. She had the chance to compete on one of my wife's international horses at Liverpool International at Christmas, and did very, very well. It was great to watch. A lump in my throat moment. So I love watching them all. I'm very proud of them all, and it's great following them.
Well, we'll keep an eye out for her then. She could be the next, the next John Whittaker.
Well, I don't think there'll ever be another John Whittaker. John is an absolute legend and a good friend, and it's great to watch John. But we love being about as a family. Anyone can approach us at shows, ask us about advice on surfaces, and if we can help, we will.
David, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. How can we get in contact with you? What's your website address?
The website is www.andrewsbowen.co.uk. We're also on Facebook. Our telephone number is 01995 672103. Anyone can contact us and see what if we can help them.
Oh, bless you. Thank you very much. All right,
my
David,
pleasure.
I'll let you run, and
thanks,
I'll speak
Amy.
To you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this exclusive episode. Now that you've signed up to Horse Hour on Acast Plus, you get a whole bunch of exclusive episodes. Right now, you can listen to Heather Bennett. She's a great British para dressage rider, and her story is truly inspirational. She was an international show jumper who had a horrific accident, which changed the course of her career. She still remembers the accident to this day, and she does talk about it in detail of how she overcame it, how she ended up moving into dressage, and now the fact that she's on the long list for Rio. It's an amazing story. I can't wait for you to hear her. Every day this week, you get to hear a new episode before everybody else, starting with Jock Paget, the New Zealand inventor. He talks about his life growing up, what got him into cross country, why he loves it so much, and of course his popular horse, Clifton Promise. He's retiring Clifton Promise this year, so he talks about how he feels about retiring him, the best times that they had together, and the new horses that we need to be looking out for that he's going to be riding over the next year. I also speak to Lisa from the New York Film Festival. Now, she talks about being in the film industry, working with horses in the film industry, and training her Lusitano horses. There is so much coming up for you. I'm really, really excited. So thank you for subscribing. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at AmyStevenson1, and you can follow Horse Hour at Horse Hour. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and go to horsehour.org for more equestrian advice and information.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/ upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.